let's talk to Thomas Britton, President and CEO of Gateway Foundation, because this is another issue we all are facing right now. You see an increase in addiction during the pandemic and post-pandemic. You look at the stats, and they're pretty startling, I got to say. Tom, as you look at the folks who are emerging from this, or maybe not emerging from this yet, still trying to deal with it, a flare-up in alcohol and drug abuse, that's something you're very familiar with 1 million graduates of the Gateway Foundation services there. How you doing this afternoon, Tom?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on.
Speak to what you're dealing with right now, what we're all dealing with, and what you're seeing.
Sure. You know, I think what we're seeing nationally is that 40% of people right now are struggling with substance use, and normally it's more like 1 in 12 people. And what we believe is happening is that social isolation is having really a traumatic toll on everybody. So substance use, period, is up. But those people that already have problems, their problems are more intense than we've ever seen.
And I think if you have someone in your family who has these issues, and so many of us do, what can you do? What should be the first step when you start to realize, look, it looks like we're seeing them go back there, and that's not working for them?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first piece of encouragement I'd give to the listeners is, you know, we're dealing with a life and death problem right now, and it can't be unwound. And so it's not the time to worry, I think, about hurting somebody's feelings. And so I am the first to reach out and simply say, I'm worried about you. I see stuff that looks problematic. How can I help you? I think that is the first step for all of us.
Mm-hmm. And then what's the second step?
Well, I think the second step is finding resources and access to care. So Gateway Foundation, for example, is one that we have, you know, 24-hour day call center. We do virtual assessments, and, you know, we can help somebody really kind of figure out, do I need help or do I not need help, and what kind of help do I need?
I look here. The American Medical Association says as of August, more than 40 states, including Illinois, reported a rise in opioid-related deaths. It's a very serious rise. Alcohol and drug abuse also up in Illinois and many, many other states during the pandemic. So you have, I imagine you have the people who already were dealing with it going into it, and then you have a new class of people who, like you say, were not dealing with the stresses of this, and there are so many so well.
Well, it's unprecedented, you know, that we had prior to COVID that substance use and overdose was the biggest public health crisis we were dealing with. 80,000 people died last year of a drug overdose. We've seen in Chicago and Cook County literally a doubling this year from last year. So 12 to 1,400 people have died through August. And it's really kind of being driven by two things, I think. One is that the drugs that are available on the street have higher amounts of synthetic opioids than they normally do, and that's the biggest killer. So people are getting drugs that are stronger than they normally get. But they're also using more than they would use historically, and there are more people that have been in recovery that are relapsing than have in the past.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's face it, so many of us are putting off self-care and health care. I just got an alert, a text alert from my dentist saying, Anna, you're 6 months overdue for your dental checkup. I'm like, isn't everybody? I mean, 6 months, really? Isn't everybody?
That's right. You and me both. That's right.
I haven't been to the dentist, but okay. I think no one has. But well, people are starting to go back. But when you deal with this, I think that if you're looking for reasons not to go, and that is often part of this process of sort of denying that you have it, denying that you need the treatment, telling people around you that you now you have another reason. It's COVID.
You're totally right. I mean, in general, nationally, about 1 in 10 people get care who need care. You know, so there's a huge amount of people that don't access care, period. And I think you're also right that part of kind of the nature of addiction as a disease is really kind of not giving it the credit it's due, in a sense. And so people are scared, and they're saying to themselves, well, if I go there, I'm going to get COVID, and that's obviously not okay. And so programs like mine at Gateway, you know, we do universal screening of every person who comes in, so we test them up front. You know, we have universal masking and sanitation. And, you know, I tell our workforce, and I feel very comfortable going to work because I know that people are literally safer in our environment than in the other environments out in the world. You've been talking about Metra and, you know, the trains and things like that. Much more dangerous to get on a train than to go to treatment.
And you do detox, you do in-house, you can do out-of-house, you can do outpatient, and I guess there's a virtual outpatient program as well.
You know, I think if we look for silver linings from this crisis, in February, we had about 1,500 people that were coming into our programs face-to-face and getting outpatient care. And by the end of March, every single one of those was getting video-based services that looked identical. And we had almost 95% of people who are enrolled stay enrolled using video technology. And it's amazing because what we're seeing right now is we literally have people in video care now that we've never met face-to-face, that you literally don't have to go to care. And it's much easier on people's lives. It's easier to get to, easier to participate.
So it works. It works that way. People feel that's the only way they're comfortable. You can do it.
Yeah, and the outcomes are great. You know, that we saw in research that we did on our own population, about half the people that we saw didn't use any substances for 12 months, which the normal average is between 10 and 30%. So 50% was already great, really. And we're seeing similar, if not better, results now. And I think it's because it's a new source of social support that people really, really need.
September is National Recovery Month. It's to educate Americans that substance use, treatment, and mental health services can enable those with disorders to live healthy, rewarding lives. So it may be the moment to step up for yourself or someone you love, someone close to you, and do something about it. I know you folks have been in business for an awful long time. Right, Tom?
Yeah. You know, we opened in 1968 as a tiny provider on the south side of Chicago. And today we serve 9,000 people a day throughout the country.
That's remarkable, and you have a lot of success stories to speak for that as well. If people want to reach out to you at Gateway Foundation, Tom, where do they go?
The easiest thing is gatewayfoundation.org, and we have our telephone numbers and, you know, text, chat, and every other way that you can get in touch with us. And, you know, the biggest encouragement I would give to your listeners is that, you know, recovery is possible for every single person. All you need to do is call.
Okay, here, I got a quick question for you here, 773. Are calls of inquiry confidential, or is information passed along to a concerned party's insurance or loved ones or work? I mean, insurance in particular, is that something that needs to happen?
That's a great question. So number one, every single thing that happens is confidential, meaning that the client themselves needs to sign permission for somebody else to know it. The only times that it is available is through insurance. So if I use my insurance, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and I ask my insurance company to pay for it, then the information is there. And so in those cases, the insurance companies know they're bound to confidentiality in the same way that I am bound to confidentiality. But people also have the opportunity to use private resources they could pay out of pocket, and there would be no paper trail anywhere if they wanted to choose that route.
All right. That makes a lot of sense, and that is an important question. I'm glad you answered it. Thomas Britton, thanks for your time. GatewayFoundation.org.
Thanks so much for having me.